excuses, whatever you want to call that. I didn't look it up, but everybody kind of knows what I'm talking about, right? An excuse. Let's see what it, let me get the dictionary. Is it around here? There it is. Do you know how freeing it is to love no matter what? Isn't that what it's about? When you, what's the Bible say? When we love with unpretended love. When you love the brothers. You know when you hear people say, well, I love you, but I don't like you. They don't love you. They don't love you. You can't help but like people made in the image of God. Because when you love them unconditionally, you're going to see who they are in God more than you're going to see the things the enemy's done that you don't like. And most of the things you don't like are things that are still in you. That's another whole teaching. Oh, there we go. All right, excuse. Okay, to pardon, to free from imputation of fault or blame, to acquit of guilt. Ooh. To pardon as a fault, to forgive entirely, to say it's of little consequence, to overlook it, to free from an obligation or duty, to remit, to make an excuse or apology for, to justify, to vindicate. All right. What does that sound like it's a counterfeit of, you guys? What does an excuse sound like a counterfeit of? It's a counterfeit of God taking away your sins. It's a counterfeit of repentance that leads to being all your sins being taken to the cross, right? So I want you to get this. When you've taken on an excuse, when you've taken something on before you knew Christ or before you had the revelation to hide your self-hate, to hide your shame, to hide your blame. When you take an excuse, when you excuse yourself, when you pardon yourself, when you make up reasons why you do what you do, when you take on a lying spirit to do that, when you, do you understand what I'm saying? When you do that, you stop the true power of forgiveness. You stop the true power of sin being forgiven. So what's going to happen if you take an excuse for your sin or an excuse for your choice or an excuse for the things you've done and you use an excuse or you justify it? You basically put a door or wall in front of it that does not allow the unconditional love of Christ to go in and set you free from that sin. How do you know if you have that? You still live in condemnation. You still question things about yourself. Now, let me tell you one of the more difficult ones. And we talked about high-minded. Was that last week? High-minded is really a powerful delusion. That's where I lived. I lived in a high-minded place, which is delusional. And when I say delusional, it's because you really don't think you hate yourself. And you really don't. You really think you handled rejection and you handled being put down or mocked or put to shame. You really think you handled it in a way that was okay. So let me give an example of that. We're going to have that out on tape soon too. But high-minded, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Look at that. Thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Now the Bible says you should love yourself. So there is a place of loving yourself in a different spirit than God's unconditional love. Do you understand that? All right. When you think more highly of yourself than you ought, it's a counterfeit love. Big for you. All right. What that is something hurts you or you feel rejected or something makes you feel shame, but you're not going to allow that. Not because of the blood of Christ, not because you go to him and he heals it, but because who are you to do that to me? Who are you to make me feel like that? I'll show you. Or you're so stupid, haughty, I'm going to put you down to climb up above what you're trying to do to me. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? And there's a whole teaching on that that we did last week or the week before. You need to see this because this is a hiding place that when you see these ministers of God fall, like we just had happen this week, in a big way in the body of Christ, or it just got exposed this week. That's a high-minded thing. They took on high-mindedness to handle the pain and the hurt of rejection. So therefore, they begin to believe the things that the enemy has told them to believe about themselves to feel better about themselves. In other words, the enemy is puffing you up to destroy you. He's setting you up to bring you down. He's even taken what God has really done. He's really taken a true anointing or a true ability to get wealth or a true ability to preach. You know, what God has called for you to do. God won't take the gifts away. And you could be walking along doing it really for God, really doing it in the presence and the power of God for his glory to some degree. But because of high-mindedness, it's also for your glory. You touch God's glory when your coping mechanism for handling rejection is to use everything God has given you for his glory, for your own glory. And then you think more highly of yourself than you ought. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. That will actually hide self-hate or rejection. It actually could make you not hate yourself, but think too highly of yourself, which can lead to an even greater sin, because that's what Lucifer did, that could cause you to walk away from God or touch his glory or go into counterfeit or deception because you think it's about you so much. You're self-absorbed. You're very selfish, even though your gifts, you know, and let me say this, you know, God is processing us out of darkness into light, right? Yes, ma'am. So don't, when God shows you some of this stuff, know that there's a lot of real that has taken place in your life. I'll give an example. We did the same inner healing we did on Edie. And she just had self-rejection, hate from before she was even, born. So God took her through this process. It was powerful, wasn't it, Edie? Has it changed you? It so changed her that she turned around and did inner healing on somebody else. Praise God! Now, with her, when God took her out of the house of complete rejection, because her dad was never there for her, out of unconditional rejection, and then she went through the whole house of love with conditions, because that's the only kind of love she knew. And she knew that pretty well, and she usually could manage that pretty well. But when God took her out of there into the house of unconditional love, it was so cool because there was a stereo in the house. There was this nice, awesome, bathroom in the house where she'd really learned to go to God for healing and inner healing, deliverance and cleansing. You know, there was this awesome, I can't remember what sofa. It was like this house had so much in it already. And the Lord was just like, everything you've done in me up to now is really here in this house. If you kind of understand what I'm saying, nothing's been wasted. Everything that you've really done, even if your motive was off, even if you still hated yourself, even if it was hidden, every single thing that the Holy Spirit has really done in your life, there is already fruit. There is already gifting. There is already stuff that God has matured in you for his purposes. Do you understand that? Isn't that cool? So some people, though, who never let the unconditional love get through, like they just kept drinking or smoking or partying, it was a constant back and forth, back and forth. God will get them into that house, but there won't be a whole lot there. But that's cool, because once you're there, you can get a hold of the teaching, you can get a hold of other teaching, go to conferences, whatever. Now all of a sudden there'll be that hunger to watch God do what needs to be done for his glory in your life. What we want to do, if you're high-minded, this is going to be more difficult for you. The Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and showed me some areas where I had taken on high-mindedness to block some failures in my life. And so I blamed it on someone else. Or I said, well, it's not a big deal because. And it's like, it was almost like you hear them say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps or whatever that saying is. It's that kind of thing. I can handle this, or it's not that bad, or I'm not going to. Yeah, basically, God just wants you to take that to him and let it be gone. See, if you have the strong personality, he gave it to you. but he didn't give it to you for you to handle the things that the cross handled. Ooh, that's a good way to see it. If you have a strong personality, if you have a gift, if he's gifted you in a way to, you know, to whatever, if he's gifted you a way for success, if he's gifted you in a way to do things, you have gifts, talents, whatever. He did that for his glory. But when you have high-minded, here's what I saw. I was ministering to somebody earlier. It's kind of like this. God's given you all these things. He's given you all these things. Give me my jacket there, please. And so you already have all these things. You have the gifting to get wealth. You have the gifting, you know, to organize things. You have the gifting and the vision to whatever he has for your life. You have the gifting to be the best employee. You have the gifting and to be a great mom or a great dad or a wonderful spouse. You have it all. You know, you got all that. But when you put high-minded on it and you use all that to prove something about yourself, to hide from where you were rejected, to not deal with that somebody else said something mean or hateful to you, or you were embarrassed or shamed, you put a black coat over it. And so instead of it being for God's glory, it's for yours. But that turns people off. That hurts people. That makes you look self-righteous. That makes you think more highly of yourself than you are. It actually is a trap to take you into so much pride, the enemy can zap you. And that's happening right now in the body of Christ. That's happening in marriages. That's happening, you know, in businesses. So what God wants you to do is to take off the high-mindedness that you put on because you were rejected, because somebody hurt you, because of blame and shame. Take it off. You're still going to be the same person. You're going to still have the same gifting. You're still going to have the same things that God's given you for his glory. But now you're able to go back by the leading of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, help me to forgive myself if I messed up. Help me to love myself. Help me to really let go of who hurt me and get all the rage and all the anger out. Now, how do you know if you've got some of this? Because there's folly in your life. There's things in your life. And when we talk about folly, folly is the fruit. Folly is the fruit of the enemy hurting you and you not handling it in Christ. So folly's going to be pornography. Folly's going to be alcohol. Folly's going to be drug abuse. Folly's going to be vanity issues. Folly, you know, got to work out all the time and see how you look and everything's about what you look like. Folly's going to be addiction to relate to social things. Or it doesn't mean in and of itself it's sin. It means, and a lot of times it is sin. Pornography is sin. Let me get this straight. Somebody will take that and have a heyday with it. Pornography is sin. Alcohol drinking is sin. Cigarette smoking is sin. But there's also folly like shopping. But shopping that's a folly is going to lead to debt. Folly is always going to lead you down a path of making excuses. Because the whole thing about excuses is the thing you took on to pardon your own sin instead of going to the cross. The thing you took on to not feel guilty, to not take the blame. This can get so extreme that you can try to create yourself, and then you really have the enemy in charge, and he's going to at some point mock you, make you a laughingstock, take your health. You don't want him as your creator because he's just perverting things, all right? And I know this is a lot of meat for people who are new to this. We have teaching on all of this. So we encourage you to get an inner healing kit. It's the best way to get the most teaching the fastest for the cheapest amount, to be honest with you. Does everybody understand about excuses? Excuses are walls that you put up. Now, if you think your excuse has worked, I'm going to tell you something. If you asked enough people and you would open up to hear, you'll find out they didn't work, but it'd be so painful. Scornful makes you someone nobody can tell because you really believe your excuses. And if anybody gets too close, you have this really strong opinionated thing that comes and tells them why they're wrong. And you really can really be mean with it. You really can have anger with it. Or you isolate and block away. Nobody's going to tell me this. I'm just going to leave. And scornful hates the person who rebukes them or tries to correct them. And I didn't realize I still had some of this in my heart till a few weeks ago when somebody was correcting me about something and rebuking me. And usually I take correction really good, but this was coming from a scornful spirit. So when it happened, I actually felt like I hated that person. And I haven't felt like I hated anybody in a long, long time. And I thought, you know, something is wrong inside of me that I would feel this kind of emotion over somebody who was not, maybe they're right in what they're saying, but I know it's not coming from the right spirit. I thought, what is this that's coming at me? And then the guy gave me the scripture, a scorner hates the person who rebukes them. And I thought, wow, God, get scornful out of my heart. I want to stay teachable for the Holy Spirit to use anybody he wants to use. You don't decide who the Holy... See, high-minded says, well, the Holy Spirit can use somebody who's better than me. Right now, and I'm going to get into the... If you're into what's going on in the prophetic move right now, there's some real high-minded stuff going on. There's one ministry saying, well, how dare you correct me, even though the other people are using the Bible. You don't know you who... And they actually said, you've never led a move of God. Who are you to correct me? And I'm thinking, you know what? God can use a donkey to correct you. I won't even go there. I could really go there right now, but I'll get rid of foolish talking. So we need to be so open to even the donkeys God brings into our lives. But how high-minded are you to judge somebody else as being a donkey unless it's really a donkey? And if a donkey's talking, I bet everybody in this room would be listening. But then we all probably try to figure out how we can make money off of it. But anyhow... Guys, got to get that out of all of our hearts too. We have a kit for that also. Anyhow, all right. Yes. An excuse is something you put there to not deal with the rejection. Now, this is a good one. God, just give me this. If you put the wall up after you've received the self-hate, it blocks self-hate in. If you get the wall up before self-hate gets in, it makes you scornful. It makes you unteachable. It makes you high-minded because you stopped that thing from making you hate yourself, but you didn't do it with the love of God. Okay, did you see that? So if you received the rejection and the hate and you hated yourself, and then you made an excuse for yourself, or then you decided, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to try harder. If you did that, you're the person who really has depression, a spirit of heaviness. There's just hating yourself. There's a feeling of hopelessness, okay? If that's you, then you put up the wall after the enemy got in, okay? Well, this is good. If someone was coming against you with that scornful or that critical or that rejection, and you put up a false shield, then you actually really don't hate yourself. But God isn't the reason you don't hate yourself.